Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
More and more people are doing these DNA tests with the likes of, you know, Ancestry.com and that kind of thing. And they're finding out all kinds of surprises about their families, I think. I think sometimes there can be a little bit of buyer's remorse. And then for some people, it changes their lives in wonderful ways, as it did for Anne McDonald, who joins me now. Hi, Anne.
Good morning, Brendan.
So, Anne, before we get to the DNA test during lockdown, you had done some family tracing before this, hadn't you? So you're adopted. Did you always know you were adopted?
I did, Brendan, yes. My mother always ensured that both my brother and myself knew we were adopted for as long as I can remember. And, you know, so it was no surprise to us at all at any stage. So, we knew.
But you waited until after your adoptive
mother
died.
My mom died. My adoptive mother died in 2000. And out of genuine love of my mother, that's the reason I didn't check anything.
Do you think it would have hurt her, yeah?
I don't think so. But I didn't want to go there while she was alive. And really, the reason I wanted to find out anything about my birth mother, more so, was to see was there anything in the family history, medical wise, because one of the greatest questions I dreaded ever was if I was with a doctor or if I ended up in a hospital and they asked me, was there anything in the family? I mean, and it was so embarrassing having to tell them that I didn't know. So that was really the big reason that I started.
What did you find?
Well, I started in 2001. I wrote into the adoption board, and of course you get the standard letter out that due to the law at the time that they were unable to really give out information and that, but that they would send on my letter to forward it on more or less a counsellor / social worker for attention. So I got a letter back, and what happened? We'll see now. She got in touch with me eventually, this particular social worker, and I think it was in 2001. Late 2001, and asked me a few questions probably at the time, but yeah. She said she'd be back in touch with me, and she did, and she said she had some news for me. So I met her outside of where I was living, and she apparently, it was what had happened was she narrowed it down to a few families she thought maybe. And she was gently probing, and she was speaking to this particular lady and asked about my birth mother. My birth mother's name, was she connected? And she said, this lady said, yes, she was my sister, but she died in 1978. So one thing led to another, and a social worker asked her, had she got a family, had she married? And the aunt said no, but she has a daughter. And of course,
so this was
worker,
your aunt.
This is my birth mother.
So the woman, the social worker, hadn't said at all who she was representing.
No,
so she asked your aunt, "Did your mother have any children?
Have any children?"
Just to keep it
clear
in my head.
And she said,
yeah?
"Yes, she had a daughter." So of course, the social worker automatically thought she meant me, and she said to her, "I'm delighted to know that," and she said, "I just want to let you know that Anne is adopted, and she's grown up now, and she was just interested in finding any connection." And the aunt turned around and said, "Her name isn't Anne, it's Sally, and she's working and living in the UK." So it had come out accidentally. So the aunt,
they weren't supposed to tell that.
Not at all.
So you had a sister in the UK.
I had a sister in the UK. So what happened was my birth mother's sister rang her, and nothing would do the sister in the UK, but she wanted to come over and meet me. So I think the social worker was in a bit of a tight corner there. But anyway, We met up. I can't even remember. It wasn't that long afterwards, a couple of months, and I met her in town. And I, as far as I remembered, the social worker was present. But we're going back to, say, the end of 2001, something like that. And we met, and she was able to fill me in a bit more on my birth mother. And she had died in 1978. And that, so she was living in the UK. So that's how that happened.
OK, so you had done that bit, and then we come many years later, the COVID lockdowns. And how long had the DNA test been sitting on your bedroom floor?
What happened was I got it as a Christmas present from my eldest daughter, Aisling. And I didn't think very much of it at the time. I mean, everything was going on. It was just coming up to the COVID break here in Ireland. And what happened was it ended up on my bedroom floor, and it sat there for nearly 2 years. And when the lockdown happened, and as you know, the first one was quite severe, we weren't going anywhere or doing anything much. And I took it out one day, and just for something to do, I read through it, did the test, put it in an envelope, and the next time I was up the village, posted it. And I more or less forgotten about it. And the next thing, I got this big thing up on, I'm not sure if it was email or something, saying that the results was after coming back, and I was, you know, they had results, and would I go on to onto their website and that. So I find that I had this percentage and that percentage with various people I never heard of, didn't know anything, any names or anything like that. So I started gently probing and looked at the top two percentages that were supposed to be closest to me. They could be cousins, first cousins or that. And one of them was in America, and the other one was in Ireland. So I just put a two-liner on both their message service on this kit, and asked them, did they know of any connection? And of course, the next thing was John Portman in America answered, and John was very excited and delighted to make contact with me. And one thing led to another, and he asked me, was I available to take a phone call? And then I think we spoke about a week later, and John had done an awful lot of digging on his end.
Yeah, and John joins us now. John Portman, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan. Hello, Anne.
John, you were born and raised in the United States, and I think, like Anne, you knew from an early age that you'd been adopted. What spurred you as an adult to go looking for, I think you refer to them as your bio parents?
Yes, bio parents, or birth parents, we say here in the US. My situation resembled Anne's insofar as my curiosity really stemmed from the family medical history. For years, I had gone for my annual checkup to a physician, and the checkup usually begins with a question, tell me, please, what is your family history? What do your people tend to die of? At what age? What sicknesses run in your family? And I routinely responded, well, I don't have a family medical history because I was adopted. And it seemed that for years, physicians would simply shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's a shame, and move ahead. But as the years went by, more and more doctors said, you know, it would really help if you could find this out because it's very important information. And I really didn't think very much about it. I had wanted to retire early. That had been a dream. It's a dream of many people in the United States. And so I met with a couple of financial planners, and they asked me, when do your people tend to die? And I would shrug my shoulders and say, well, I don't know, I was adopted. And they explained to me, well, it's very difficult for us to plan your retirement, your pension, unless we know when your people tend to die, because we need to know how much money you'll require. And I thought, well, I care for whatever reason more about retiring early than I did about my family medical history.
Okay.
And at the same time, I was aware that my younger sister, I have an older brother and a younger sister, were each a year apart from one another. My brother came first, then I'm in the middle, and then my sister younger. I'm very close to my younger sister, and she told me that she had done Ancestry.com. As you pointed out at the beginning, there are a number of these kits now, and they're very popular in the United States. So my younger sister, Kathy, had tried it, and I'd been with her sort of every step of the way, and I kept thinking to myself, that's not for me. I was frightened about what I might discover about myself, and initially my sister's journey did not go very well.
Okay.
But she kept pushing me again and again to do it, and then finally one day I decided, I'll give it a shot. So I ordered the kit, and yeah, it was the beginning of quite a few surprises.
Okay, so we start with the first surprise. So I think it 2019, this is Anne was still ignoring her unopened DNA kit on the bedroom floor at that stage. You're opening your DNA results, and you discovered that you are 100% Irish. Was this a surprise? Had you ever suspected you were Irish?
You know, Brendan, I had never for a moment. America brims over with Irish people, and I should have wondered, could I be Irish? But it never, ever occurred to me. For whatever reason, people, you know, not every day, not by any means, but, you know, you meet strangers, you go off to university, you go on a trip, and people will ask, because in America, we're a nation of immigrants. Everybody comes from somewhere else. And people would routinely say to me, you look Scandinavian. Are you Danish or Swedish? That's what I tended to hear. Every now and then I would be asked, are you German? Because we have many German people in the United States. So I started to think, well, it's unlikely that I'm Danish because there aren't that many Danish Americans. But I thought, maybe I'm Danish. And then it turns out now I'm like so many other people in America, in that I'm Irish. But I was actually
quite
different.
The Danes did come here in their day.
We had
plenty of visits from the Scandinavians in our time. So, John,
yes,
you got help then from what's called a DNA angel. And these sound like fantastic people, a volunteer, and they help people piece together their family history. So you tracked down your bio mother's family and reunited with them. And it turned out then your mother was from an Irish-American family. She had had a year-long relationship with an Irish immigrant. And then so you, baby John, ended up as a result of that relationship, and you ended up with the Sisters of Mercy in Phoenix, Arizona. But that Irish immigrant, your bio dad, was Anne's dad's brother. So the two brothers basically both had children outside of marriage, and their two babies ended up with the nuns, albeit on opposite sides of the Atlantic. So do you remember then, John, when you got that first message from Anne?
I do. So when I heard from Anne, I had essentially just finished my search. I should emphasize, I did nothing at all. I found this DNA detective. She's a Canadian professor of English literature. She did all of the work. She did everything. It's just remarkable to me how she was able to find my father. It was like finding a needle in a haystack. She had done everything. So when I got the message out of the blue one day from Anne, she asked, could you help me, please? I'm looking for information about my family. And the kicker was that she said, you know, this message might sound strange, but I don't know anything about my family because I was adopted. Well, I couldn't believe it. And I wrote back to her and I said, I was adopted too. And I was able to tell Anne immediately the street on which her father had lived in Dublin, where her father had gone to high school, the names of Anne's paternal grandfather and grandmother, where they had come from, how many children were in the family. I think Anne was quite surprised that I had all this information. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it was all because of this DNA detective, this Canadian professor, who had told me where I came from. And so I was able to tell Anne, look, you know, I can save you a lot of time by giving you these answers right away.
God, you both got very lucky with the people you met, didn't you? And like, your social worker sounds like a very proactive person as well. And then the DNA angel obviously did amazing work.
Yes.
Tell me, so did you were on the phone a bit first. Did you meet up then?
We did. Anne? We did. We met up last year, John. I'm right, Jeff. Last year,
yes.
John came over and we arranged to meet in Dublin City because he was going around. He wants to go around with his partner to look at all the sites. And we arranged to meet for coffee and a bite to eat in South Ann Street. And of course, I was late. Which I usually am, all to do with the Lewis and parking and everything else. So anyway, got in and I was looking for this cafe bar place or cafe restaurant. And the next thing I heard, Anne. And they were sitting out outside. It was a lovely summer's afternoon. And the minute I saw them, hugs and kisses. I mean,
yeah. My mother would have a phrase, they know their own about children. Yeah. Did you kind of know each other?
The minute I saw him.
Really?
Yes. There's definitely a resemblance. I mean, the blonde doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from somewhere within the family.
Yeah.
And John's like me there.
John, what was that first meeting like for you?
Well, it was very moving. It was my first time ever in Ireland because when I discovered my biological background, it was COVID. And so I couldn't fly over to Ireland. I had always meant to go anyway. It's a very popular American destination. But most of the Americans who go to Ireland go because they want to feel that they're on their sort of ancestral homeland. And that I didn't have that pull. As soon as I found out I was Irish, then I wanted to go. And yes, Anne is very blonde. And since I was a child, I was always very blonde as well. And so we fit together like hand in glove. And it was very moving. Of course, you go to another country and you meet people and you can have a lot of fun. But meeting Anne was special because I hadn't really met people with whom I shared DNA.
Oh my God, of course, yeah. You'd never met your own in a way, like,
exactly. So she was family. She obviously had a very different accent, but it was the accent of my own people. So I thought I had a lot to learn from Anne.
Okay, so I'm only going to ask this question because I hope I know the answer. Do you like each other?
Enormously.
Most definitely, yes.
That helps, doesn't it? Like, because,
And one other thing, Brendan, would you believe I'm not even 100% Irish the way John is? I'm only 96% Irish.
Really? What's the other 4%?
Scottish.
Okay, yeah, but you know, not a million miles away.
I know, he's more Irish than I am.
And John, people might have read about you in the papers because you made a bit of history in recent months because you become the first known person to get an Irish passport based solely on DNA evidence, because you don't have any paperwork to prove that you're Irish, but you fought to get your passport based on DNA.
Well, Brendan, I fear we do not have enough time today to do justice to the question that you've asked. Yes, I think the Department of Foreign Affairs in Dublin might be frowning right now because I was told through the good folks who work at the Embassy of Ireland in the USA, that's its official title. I was told anecdotally after I received my passport, they called me and they said on the phone, you know, we've asked around, we've asked everywhere. And as best we can tell, you are the very first person ever to have received an Irish passport purely on the basis of DNA evidence. So that was an instance of very, very good people who were thrilled that I had crossed the finish line, giving me this information. But that information did not come from the Department of Foreign Affairs in Dublin. And apparently now many people in Canada and the US are excited and are hoping to obtain citizenship based on a DNA test.
What have you started here? Yeah,
exactly.
Do you feel Irish, John? Do you feel more Irish now?
I feel more Irish every day, in part because I have this vital connection through Anne. Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is that American people are crazy about Ireland. We know the literature I'd studied in university, the poetry, the films, you know, the film stars we have who are Irish people as well. So, I mean, it was always all around me. I just didn't realize that I myself had a connection to it. So, yes, I feel more and more Irish all the time.
John, everyone in Ireland hears what you're saying. We're all thinking this guy basically won the lottery. That's how you're feeling, isn't it, to find out you're Irish?
That's exactly how I feel, Brendan. Yeah, I realise you have very limited time, but, you know, until very recently, a number of European countries would not give citizenship to children who were born illegitimate, as I was. So I'm just thrilled that Ireland did, in fact, make an effort to me. We have no idea, nobody seems to know, how many European countries will allow the submission of DNA evidence in a citizenship application. But I know for certain Ireland allowed me to do that. And there's no question I was born illegitimate. And Ireland allowed me citizenship despite the fact that I was born illegitimate and yeah. adopted as well. Some countries might say, well, look, as soon as you're adopted, then all of your birthright rights are severed, and Ireland didn't say that to me either. So, Brendan, I'm just very grateful to Ireland, and that's really what I'm here to say. Hello to Anne and to you, and also thank you to Ireland.
And are you guys going to be seeing each other again soon, Anne?
Hopefully. He has to christen this passport.
Yes, exactly. Excellent. We have the rest of our lives to get to know one another. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Okay. And just briefly before we go, a lot of people are probably skeptical about doing these DNA tests and worried about what they might find out. What would you say to people?
Go with it, definitely. Yeah. Because there's an awful lot of adopted people my age and older who are looking for information. Yeah. And we always wonder, where have we come from? Always, I remember wondering, would it have been different, what would they have been like? What was their children, siblings of mine? So I never get the chance to find out. And in a million years, I never thought I'd hear anything about the birth father's side, because most of these men walked away.
Yeah. So are you more at peace with yourself now? Are there fewer questions?
There's fewer questions, yes, yeah. But there's still an awful lot of wondering in as far as where, the home, the orphanages, everything like that, that were throughout Ireland for all these years. And it's the people that came from those orphanages, most of them are dead, an awful lot of them are dead now. Yeah. But, they've always wondered. They've
and
always
died without getting them,
any answers. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, yours is a wonderful story anyway. And thank you both so much for sharing it with us. Anne MacDonald and John Portman. And I hope we see each other again soon.